All right, we're on.
All right.
I'm going to start the episode, and then we can tell listeners this is our first time together. I've been, you know, I put out there movies 2025 and books 2025, but this is your first episode in like a month. So
yeah, I'm just gonna, we had a baby and
hold on. Let me hit the music and then you can talk about it. Episode 1224. Right. I'm going to name this thing later. I don't know what I'm going to call it yet.
Okay.
All right, Ben, take it away. Tell everybody. What's been happening in your life? We're virtual tonight.
Well, everybody. We had a baby. He was born a month early. It's not super premature, but enough premature where we wound up in the NICU for a couple of weeks. And so, you know, we've just been off. He's home now. Everybody's home. This week just wasn't going to work for just schedule reasons. And so one more week off. But then we'll be back as normal next week. We'll resume Dante as normal. All the good stuff that we normally do. So
I think our virtual episodes have been working out pretty well. And the
list. We're kind of limping along here, but I'm excited to get back to normal recording.
I'm hoping to redo the look of this basement before you get back. I've been slowly working on some things, so I hope that you're surprised by what it looks like when you return.
I'm always surprised. Like things shift around and move, and it's a wild time.
This will be the biggest change. I predict this is the biggest change since we started. Like since you started really paying attention.
Okay, I'll be ready for it.
All right, listeners. Well. As we wrap up our virtual time here tonight, we're talking about doing something for the free feed, letting you guys hear some fresh sci-fi Christian action. But what are we going to do? What should we talk about? Well, I have a few questions I've saved up for Ask Ben Anything, and I don't remember what they are. I have them in my inbox, but that's why I couldn't give the title yet because I don't exactly know what we're going to talk about. So looks like I have two questions ready, and let's just take it away. Are you ready?
Fire away.
All right. I'm reading this a little bit for the first time. Maybe let me, if I need to edit this, pause out. Okay. Okay. You know, I've been studying communion and Eucharist, depending on if you're Protestant or Catholic, and it looks like I wrote, wow, this is interesting. I can see I wrote this right after I finished Robert Barron's book. He's a bishop.
Yeah.
Bishop Barron's book on the Eucharist. And so I must have had something in mind as I wrote this. I'm just going to read it. It looks like it's notes and a question all mixed together. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
As you take in Jesus' blood and body, is it replacing parts of you? These are notes I took down. Replacing yourself so that you can become more like him. And let me just quickly read the rest of my notes, and then you can. So just be thinking about how you want to answer this.
Yep.
I haven't drank wine, as you know, but... apparently, wine, because it's alcohol, has like kind of a burning to it. And this must have been what I got from reading the book. When you drink it, it feels different than drinking juice. Could communion or Eucharist or whatever you want to call it have some sort of cleaning aspect? Like, is the burning important? Not physically, but spiritually in some way. And so, again, I'm just kind of... it looks like my notes are just going back and forth between remembrance versus maybe almost a medicine. You and I have talked about how it's almost like a medicine, like something that gives you power or empowers you or cleans or purifies you. And I have one last note. I hope you're just thinking about how you're going to answer this.
I was looking up something for the first part.
Last thing I'll read here. So communion can be something that unites you with the church body throughout time. When you take communion, are you taking communion with everyone that has ever done it at the same time throughout time? So it looks like I have two questions here, the time one, but then also the replacing our parts of ourselves. And my guess is that parts of this couldn't have been original to me, unless I just something that the bishop said sparked that question. So what do I do? You want to talk about time first, or you want to talk about our bodies, our physical and spiritual bodies? Well, wait a second. I don't know if there was a spiritual body.
So the time part, you know, I think that is the proper way of understanding it is that we are all united across time and space.
So when I take communion, or do you only count that for Catholic Eucharist? Like, let's break it down. Let's break it down real quick here. When you take the Eucharist, you believe, or Catholics believe, that all Catholics are taking it throughout time together. Is that correct?
Yes, by virtue of the fact that what the Eucharist does is it transcends time and space. And so the Eucharistic sacrifice brings us to the moment of the sacrifice of Christ. So we are united in across time and space with that moment of history.
Would you, or maybe I should say, would Catholics extend that to Protestants? So do you believe that you and I are always taking communion together?
So I would definitely extend it to Eastern Orthodox. I would not extend it to Protestants. Now, that doesn't mean that God, through his extraordinary means of grace, can't do the same thing. But the reason I wouldn't extend that to Protestants is, I'm just giving you my answer.
Yeah, this is an ask Ben anything. Yeah, it's okay.
Right. So, number one, there's no valid apostolic succession within the Protestant churches. And number two, the Eucharistic sacrifice does not have the proper matter and form. So in other words, what I would consider a valid, not I, but the church would consider a valid Eucharistic celebration is not present in the Protestant churches. That doesn't mean that God can't do God things. So I wouldn't say a definitive no, but I wouldn't say yes in the way that I would for the Orthodox and Catholic churches.
So I wrote this email that I just read as an ask but anything note. So I just don't know what was something
answer the first part?
Yeah, I'm going to come back to that. I just want to quickly say, I don't know if like this thing about wine burning and replacing our bodies, I honestly don't remember if that was in this book by the bishop or if it was a note that came to mind as I was reading. So I hate to steal someone else's idea, but let's just talk about it as if it's my idea. So I think I might have been thinking, as you're taking pieces of him, it's replacing parts of yourself. Is that, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, without really regard to how literal we do or don't want to take that, in terms of like the actual physical replenishment of your body through stuff that you eat, there is this concept, especially in the Eastern Christianity, called theosis. That's what I was looking up on my phone while you were asking, because I was trying to remember the exact word for it. Deification, theosis, divinization, all of them essentially mean the same thing, which is not that we become God.
Oh, you're breaking up. You're breaking up just a little bit.
The goal of the Christian life is to...
Hey, I lost you for a second. Sorry. Right when you said it's not that... Oh, I might have totally lost him here, listeners.
It's not that we... Is this better?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Nope, I'm here.
Okay, good.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Yeah, so the goal isn't necessarily... It's not that we become God, but we become like God. God wants us to be like him. And so divinization, theosis, the same type of thing. I think another way to understand this is that, all of the sacraments are means of imputing grace to us. And grace does make us more holy. It's the sanctification process. But really what it boils down to, if we want to strip away all the theological language and hard to understand philosophical concepts and all of that, the Eucharistic theology boils down to this: you are what you eat. That's really what it comes down to. So I don't mean that to be flippant, but it's literally what we believe. That yes, you're taking Christ into you, and by that process, God's grace is making you more like Christ.
Okay, yes, because, we know that that is a goal. That does say, there's different verses like, be perfect as I am perfect, or...
Right.
So, so I think I hear you saying that at least in Catholicism, there's this idea that as you take the body and blood, it is becoming part of you, and then you're shedding more of your human nature. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, and I think that's the goal of all the sacraments, right? Like, that's the goal of all grace. But the Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. So in a special way, it happens there.
What do you think about this note I wrote? I wrote this in January, and now we're recording in March. Wine burns. When you drink it, it feels different than juice. What do you think about that? It looks like I'm trying to get at something about it having like a cleaning aspect to it.
Yeah, I haven't read the book that you did, but it wouldn't surprise me a bit if he talks about that concept. It's a very valid concept. And even if it's just like, well, and communion wine is hardly going to burn. It's not like you're taking a shot of, 120 proof whiskey or something like that. But it nevertheless, the concept is there. The matter is there.
Okay, I see my next question, and it's a good question. I am worried it might take us further than we have time for. So I'm going to ask it. And if you want to save it for next time, that's totally fine. We could stop it right here with the juice talk, or we could talk about demons and AI. Are you ready?
Yeah, ask it. Then let's see.
Ben, do you think that demons, now this is not an idea that's original to me, other people are worried about this, do you think demons can speak through AI chats?
Yes.
Yeah, like some people are thinking it can be used as a tool, like a tool to trick us. Like, tell me more about why you think, you were quick with that. Yeah, so why do you feel that strongly?
So I want to be very careful here. I'm not saying that every AI chat interaction is demonic, you know, but so it's like, hey, co-pilot, what formula should I use, you know, to make things add up in my Excel spreadsheet? It's like, in Satan's back there, it's like, oh, come on, I got so many better things to do than that. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that if you think of all the ways that you can use an AI chatbot, many of them do start to, some of them do start to resemble something closer and more akin to the way a Ouija board would be used, meaning that there is a desire to commune, and I'm using that word quite intentionally, with non-human, non-corporeal consciousness. I think that's a very dangerous road. I think that just like with a Ouija board, most times that people have used a Ouija board, it's just a dumb party game. But I also believe that things like a Ouija board and other occult activities that are done, whether with a true intention or even just a playful intention of contacting a non-corporeal entity, open the door to the demonic. And I see absolutely no reason why that wouldn't extend to AI and to AI chatbots. So I'm not saying that every use of ChatGPT or whatever is demonic, but I certainly see the potential there. And when you read some of the horror stories that have come out of people's interactions with AI, it's hard not to see the influence of the demonic present in them.
Yeah.
So absolutely.
What made me think of it is you're hearing more and more stories of people, instead of going to a human counselor, they're using ChatGPT or something like that for counseling. And I was just thinking, I mean, if like some people believe that demons can speak through it almost feels silly to say, although, because I don't exactly think I understand the mechanics of how that would work, but just moving on from that.
What are the mechanics of how it would work with a Ouija board?
Yeah, I guess I don't know how because there's so much that we don't know about the spiritual realm. I don't know, but I guess the counseling, that can be scary depending on who is the source, like who are you getting help from?
Yeah, I mean, so in terms of the mechanics of it, I think it's very simple that the spiritual can interact with the physical. Like that's just a concept that we believe as part of what Christian theology teaches about angels and demons. We probably don't know enough to say exactly how that works, but yet the principle's there. I think that regardless of whether or not a demon is present or not, I think opening yourself up to, do not treat an AI like a person. And that includes using it for counseling. That is a very dangerous road for many, many reasons. Number one would be that, you know, as we just said, okay, I think it opens up to the demonic, but let's say you don't. Well, what are the other reasons? Number two, it's dehumanizing. It's inherently dehumanizing in that it starts to impute human qualities onto things that are not human. And number three, the source of your counseling is quite important. You shouldn't just, if you're looking for an actual counselor, actual therapist, you shouldn't just randomly look for the first one in the phone book that you find. I know nobody uses phone books, but people understand the metaphor. You should actually give care to that. Make sure that this is somebody who is aligning with your values and is interested in the things you want. you don't know the source of this. And so you've opened yourself up to a bunch of stuff that you shouldn't open yourself up to. And I think that there's just a deep care that needs to be taken with the human person. And one of the concerns that I have with AI and AI being used in those cases is that it's not. It is the shucking off of the duty that we have to ourselves as humans. So I think that is, regardless of the presence of the demonic, a tremendously horrible thing to do. Please don't do it.
All right, listeners, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiLono.
And we're the Sci-Fi Christians, signing off.
Goodbye, everyone.